Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? All right. Well, obviously, I'm not Pastors Jeff and Beth. We just wrapped up an awesome series with He Loves Me. How many of you enjoyed it? We're here for our 3 weeks of He Loves Me. Well, pastors were gone. They were doing some ministry opportunities up in Alaska last week. They send you their love. They are now getting, coming off of that, they're getting some R and R and R. And so that, you know, obviously that's rest, some relaxation, and writing, if you're trying to figure out what that last R is. So Pastor Beth is working on her next book. It's a good time to be praying for her, that she would get everything that the Lord has to get out. And we know that she's such an awesome author. And aren't you happy that we have pastors that have a global impact? Amen. It's not just about what we can do here in Kalamazoo or in Southwest Michigan, but that they have opportunities to impact an entire world, an entire population. So we're really excited for them and glad that they're getting an opportunity to catch up on some sleep and catch up on some writing. So today, we're doing a little bit of a tie-in to He Loves Me, but it's kind of a standalone. We're going to talk about going all in. So how many of you are ready? All right. Look at your neighbor, say, let's go all in. Look at the person on the other side of you and say, you too? All right. Let me pray because Lord knows we need it. All right? Father, thank you for today. God, we thank you for your word that is always true. We thank you, Lord, that you're all in on us, and so we can be all in on you. So, Father, help us to receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, most of us have something that we're all in on. We have something that's our passion. That's what we're talking about when we talk about a life that's all in. We're talking about passion. Maybe it's whatever for you. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe you love the Detroit Tigers. Maybe you one of you loves the Detroit Tigers. You know, I didn't say the Lions because it would have been crickets. Because that's, we love them, but we hate them also. But we have other things that we're passionate about. Maybe it's crafts. Maybe it's motorcycles. How many of you are motorcycles riders? How many Harley riders we have in here? We got a few, I know. Four. Well, we have more Harley riders than we have Tiger fans. But you know, when you get all in on something, you go all the way. And when you find that passion, you try something new and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And pretty soon you've bought like the t-shirt for it. And then you got the hat. And then you got all the gear. And everybody knows, oh, that's the Harley guy, or that's the Tigers girl. Oh, man, she makes the greatest craft. She does awesome crochet. Or he always is reading. He's always got something he's reading. Whatever we're passionate about, we get known by. You know, I've got a dog. How many of you have a dog? Some of you. How many of you have a cat? Okay. So I'm going to tell some dog stories today. For you cat people, let me help paint the perspective for you. Take your cat, whom I guess you love. Don't send angry emails. Take your cat, whom you love. Picture that cat. You love your cat. Now, to help frame the dog perspective, take your cat and subtract the tidiness, subtract the independence, subtract the innate and secret desire that every cat holds to kill you in your sleep at night. Add in loyalty. Add in a little slobber. And a dash of dumb. You got a dog. Now, I've got a dog. I have a big dog. I don't have a little dog. I have a big dog. I have an 18-month-old black lab, which is a lot like having a 4-year-old with a triple espresso and a mallet. So if that paints the perspective for you, that hopefully that helps. Because a little dog I would step on. I know that Jonesy's great. I honestly would kill Jonesy by accident. So we have a big dog. And he's all in. And he's only all in on one thing. He's all in on his ball. And it's only a special ball. He's become a ball snob. It's not a tennis ball. It's not a baseball. It's only a lacrosse ball, and it's only yellow lacrosse balls. He's all in, all ball, all the time. This is what it's like living all in. So no matter what we do, he wants to play ball. He gets up in the morning, the first thing he does, grabs his ball, drops it at you, boom, looks at you. He's expecting. He's all in. It's all about the ball. He will play until he can no longer stand. We will throw the ball until he physically collapses, and then he will try to get up and play more, to where he drags himself to his bowl to drink water. Now, why is it we go all in on things? We go all in on baseball or motorcycles or crafts or whatever it may be, but really what we're supposed to be all in on is our life of faith. See, the victorious Christian life, when we talk about the John 10:10 life, that's the all-in life. When Jesus says, look, I came so you would have life and have it abundantly, have it to the full, that's because he's all in on us. So we can experience life all in on him. But we run into three things. So we're going to go to Scripture. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers will give you a Bible. We've got plenty of them here. Just put your hand up, flag them down, because we want you to get this. We're going to camp out in this chapter, so you can bend that page or put a marker there, put an offering envelope or something. Don't put the money in your offering envelope. That should be gone now. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 7. Start there. Okay, everybody got it? I'm going to start reading. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Okay, so in this snippet of Scripture, these seven verses that we're talking about, we're going to talk about three things, three components of the life of being all in. It's the pursuit, the pain, and the progress. Everybody got it? The pursuit, the pain, and the progress. The pursuit is easy. The pursuit is something that we get passionate about. When we get passionate about it, all of a sudden we step right in. We're ready to go. I want the t-shirt. I want the hat. I want the bag. I want the members-only jacket with the cool logo. When I throw the ball for Cosmo, he's all in. He's going to pursue it. In fact, he's so all in, it's what drives his focus. We had a geese problem not too long ago. I had to get rid of these geese. These geese were flocking. You ever notice, like, geese are messy? Like, they are the squirrels of the waterfowl world. They're the nastiest birds. I mean, you can't walk anywhere. You go to a park with geese, and it's you're doing this, and they act like you're intruding on their life. So, decided, I have a dog. There's geese. I'm going to get rid of the geese. So, took the dog over, opened up the door. He looked at the geese, looked at the ball. I'm like, chase the geese. No, don't, animal rights activists, don't send me a bunch of letters about this either, too, that, you know, we're scaring geese away with a dog. They fly. He doesn't. Cat people, you can add that into your dog thing. So he didn't care about the geese. What's he focused on? He's focused on the ball. Got to get rid of the geese. So I picked up the ball,
threw it at the geese.
Well, with me being there, they just do this. They give you that side eye. You know how geese are there. They always look like they're a little drunk, don't they? But when an 80-pound black lab comes at them, they do that a little faster. We didn't scare him the first time. Brought the ball back. I'm like, what are you doing? You're a retriever. You're supposed to chase geese. Threw the ball back at him. So finally the geese are gone. He's still playing ball. Why? Because he's all in on the ball. It's all about the pursuit. Take a look at what that says back in Philippians 3 in verses 8 and 9. It says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it as all garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Now, just like my dog, the only thing he's really focused on is the ball. He's only seeing the ball. There's all kinds of other things out there, but he only sees the ball. He knows the value of the ball. The geese for him, they're just distractions. So that's what it was like for Paul. Because Paul had this incredible resolve to do what God had called him to do. That everything else he called worthless. But here's the thing. This all-out pursuit of the Lord, this all-out life that we're supposed to be living, this all-in, I'm diving in, this passion in pursuit, it leads to joy. Psalm 119:2 says this, joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Joyful. We should be joyful all the time, right, as believers? If we're pursuing him with all our hearts, we should be joyful. So we've passionate, we dove in, we're reading our Bible, we got our lives changed, we're getting involved, and then all of a sudden, like anything that we can be passionate about in the world, comes the pain. Have you ever had something that you're really passionate about and then all of a sudden you can't do it anymore? Maybe it's in running. Many of you are runners and the pain comes. Maybe it's an injury. At some point, whatever we do, pain is going to show up in what we're passionate about. Pain is going to impede progress. It's going to be the hiccup between the pursuit and the progress. Some of you are doing the Kalamazoo Marathon coming up in a couple of weeks, which is really exciting. We just had a couple people that did the Boston Marathon a couple weeks ago. I know at least two VFCers that went out there and did it. And here's the thing on a marathon. Marathon is 26.2 miles. Most people hit what's called the wall at about mile 20. It's going to come. Give or take a little bit, you hit a wall. The pain comes to where you think you can no longer do it. The pain is a part of the pursuit. It's a part of the passion. And that's where most people quit a marathon. They're 80% done. Now, if you ask me, if you start talking about a marathon, not all of you are marathoners. Most of us are not marathoners. Marathon is named after a distance run after a battle where the Athenians defeated the Persians thousands of years ago. And this messenger named Pheidippides ran 26.2 miles back to the king to deliver the news of victory and died. Now, today, we market that to people. Wait. Are you telling me that I get to do something and pay you $200 to do so that I can run 26.2 miles? It's named after the opportunity where the messenger came and delivered the message and fell over and died? Sign me up. The pain's a part of it. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have some resolve because 80% of the way in, I'm going to hit some pain. I'm going to quit. Why would I quit at 80%? All I got to do is get over that. that hill. In the Boston Marathon, that place is called Heartbreak Hill. Boy, that's exciting. Let me get to Heartbreak Hill. It's not what you expected when you signed up for it. Because what you signed up for was, I want to do this race. It's really exciting. I'm passionate about running. But man, it's going to hurt like I've never experienced before. Pain is the interruption to progress. I threw the ball one time. Same thing. I was throwing it out for the dog. The dog's name is Cosmo. Not named after Cosmo Kramer for you Seinfeld fans. But so throwing the ball for him, trying to get rid of the geese. Threw the ball a little closer. The geese are, you know, running away. We have an issue. He's in the pursuit. The ball hits a rock, bounces in the pond. You want to see pain in a dog's eyes. Throw his ball in the water. Because now he's doing this. Pain. Real pain in the pursuit of his passion. Navy SEALs have a rule. It's becoming the new rule in our house. It's called the 40% rule. You ever heard of this? Most of you know who Navy SEALs are. They do the hardest training of all the special forces. If you're a special forces in another branch, my apologies. But they're known for it. They go through a thing called Hell Week. So they do this training, and they have the 40% rule. And it's when you think you can go no further, you've only hit 40% of your capacity. When you're ready to quit, when you're ready to drop out, when you're ready to walk away, you've only hit 40% of what you can do. This is now the new rule of thumb for our house. So when the kids come and they say things like, "Dad, I can't possibly do any more raking in the yard." Oh, no. You can. You've only done 40% of what you're capable of doing. And this is perfect because they're learning fractions in school. And so we're like, yeah, look, that's 4 out of 10. You got 6 out of 10 more that you could do. But why is it we're ready to push through things like a heartbreak hill? We're ready to push through things like a lost ball. But when we get to the pain in our life of faith, we're ready to quit. Why is that? And it comes in so many different forms. It comes in people. It comes in pride. It comes in comparison. It comes in health. It comes in just circumstances. Why is it that we get to that point and all of a sudden we go, oh, wait a minute. I'm not ready to push through that pain. Because the life of faith is a life that's focused on a destination. It's the life that's focused on a finish line. Go back. Here's what Paul said about his life. If you go to 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. He says this. We're pressed on every side by troubles. We are crushed, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. How do you get to that in your walk with the Lord? Because the pain's going to come. How many of you at some point in your life have experienced pain in your life of faith? You had something that you did not expect come up. Most everybody. I started all in. I started walking with the Lord. I did small groups. I prayed. I read my Bible. And then all of a sudden, we get sucker punched by something. See, the life of faith does not excuse us from trials and tribulations. The Bible tells us that trials and tribulations will be a part of our lives. But the life of faith looks beyond that. It starts with the pursuit, It recognizes the pain. Listen, life of faith, pain's going to be a part of it. It's going to come in some form. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is, however, in the life of faith, a destination that we can be focused on. Because that leads to the progress. Because pain is always going to lead to progress. It all comes in perspective. When Paul's writing that, he says, look, we're pressed on every side by trouble, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but we're never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. His perspective of his problem allowed him to make progress. His perspective of his problem allows him to make progress. See, perspective is the defining line between obstacle and opportunity. You're going to have something come up in life. Chances are. You're going to get blindsided by something. Chances are. Is it obstacle or is it opportunity? Is it an obstacle to go, you know what, I can't even think about this. Why would God do this to me? Well, we know God doesn't do this to you. Or is it opportunity to go, I fix my eyes on the Lord, where my help comes from. See, so often we look at our problems with the perspective of our lens focused on our circumstances. And when we're trying to be focused on living a life of faith, we're trying to be more Christ-like. Because he's the model of perfection. And the reality is, on a day-to-day life, you're not going to be perfect. And so we mistake a lack of perfection as a lack of progress when our perspective is on our problem. You know what happens then? Then we become prisoner to our performance. Do I do this enough? I used to be guilty of being the most guilty of comparison. I used to think, I can't possibly do that. Look how spiritual they are. I'm not in that category. When I decided to go to Valley U, back when it was Epic School of Ministry, before it became Valley University, I waited forever to make that decision because I was all wrapped up in if I was worthy enough to do it. Because I looked at people that were leaders that were doing it. Leaders, well, that's the usher team leader, or that's the guest services leader. They're great people. They're really religious. And all my perspective got focused on the problem and not on what the promise. For Paul, his perspective was shaped by his focus on the promise. Go back to Philippians 3:13 and 14. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I have not achieved it. I haven't achieved perfection. I have a problem. I'm still human. I focus. I press on. The life of faith can be summed up in those three things right there. I haven't achieved it, but I believe it. So I focus on what God's promise is for me and what he's called me to do. I press on. I have problems. I have real life circumstances that come up. I have things that surprise me in life. But I press on. This is the life of faith. This is the life of faith defined by progress. If you were with us last week, Pastor Beth shared all about what the promise is. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, she shared this, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So what's your problem? And what has God promised you to help change your perspective? Because we're all, sometimes we get tuned in on the problem and not on the promise. You need peace? God promises the peace that surpasses all understanding. You need help? He promises to be the present help in a time of need. You're brokenhearted? He promises that he binds up the brokenhearted. He's close to those that are broken in spirit. You have fear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. You're broke? Need a job? Short this month? He promises that he provides for all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So when I ask you this, when people say, what's your problem? I ask you this, what's the promise? Because it's easy for me to go, I have all this list, this list of problems. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. But until I grab a hold of what the promise is, I'm only going to be focused on the problem. That's what's going to shape my perspective. But if I want to live a life that's all in, I got to quit focusing on the problem. I'm going to focus on the promise, and that's going to be my perspective. Because I'm going to be finish line focused. Because when the end comes, I'm going to say this. I focus and I press on. Forgetting everything that's past. I can't control anything that I have already passed. So I press on. So here's my encouragement to you today. What is it that you need to press on through? And what's the promise that goes with it? Say this with me. I may have a problem, but I also have a promise. And that gives me perspective on my progress and fuels my passion. I'm all in for Jesus. All right, can I get an amen there? Yeah. We all have the same finish line. We don't all have the same horizon. That's all perspective. Focus your lens on the promise and not on the problem. Amen. All right, let me pray real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you today that your word is alive and living and active in all of us. God, I ask that you would help us to stay focused on your promises, because they always trump our problems. In Jesus' name, amen.